Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 82 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, guys? We're really stoked about this one. All you wrestling fans back home, if my little sister Sarah is listening, she knows back in the day, 20-plus years ago, the diamond cutter was put on her many times.
I used to also put it on my brother Mark, and he used to also put that on me. It's one of those funny ones that, because of the way the diamond cutter is,
Yeah. If
you can perfect it, if you like, jump on the bed at the same time together, you don't get hurt because Yeah. You just land on that soft bounce.
Yeah.
But that was one of our favorite moves, the diamond cutter. And, you know, between him, my favorites were him, Sting, when Sting became the Crow version.
Oh, yeah, the Dark Boy.
The Dark Boy.
Yeah, man.
When he had his bat and he used to beat up the NWO. I used to love that shit.
Yeah.
Ric Flair was always pretty cool.
Nature Boy.
I liked Hogan when he was, like, the American
Yeah. Hero. Mine were, like, I liked Shawn Michaels when he was in the Rockers, yep. So him and Marty Jannetty. I like Brutus the Barber Beefcake. My all-time favorite was Bret the Hitman Hart. I always wanted the shades, the glasses Canadian he'd come out. Yeah, and Mr. Perfect. I like the flashy, loud look one. Superfly Jimmy Snuka jumping off the ropes. Man, that was our childhood, man. It was crazy. My dad actually wouldn't let me watch wrestling around him.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, it's fake.
And then it came, I like Shawn Michaels too, and I loved it when him and Triple H did D-Generation X.
Oh, X-Pac?
X-Pac was on there. China, she died, you know.
No? Did she pass away?
Passed away, the poor girl.
Yeah.
She was huge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think so. I hope I didn't just, like, kill her.
I remember.
I'm sure she died.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway.
I'll just Google that.
Yeah. I think, no, there's a documentary about a lot of the wrestlers die young, you know, from various ways or another, but the D-Generation X, I remember when a no-name wrestler won a huge match. His name was the 1-2-3 Kid, and then they just catapulted this guy to superstar him. It was X-Pac.
But, yeah, you know, X-Pac's got a podcast now.
No, what's it called?
I think it's just called X-Pac.
They call him X-Pac?
Yeah, man.
Jeez, everybody has podcasts. I love it. I love this medium that we get to share. DDP is so multidimensional, yeah. Multifaceted.
She died this year, bro.
Jesus, that's sad to hear, man. It's always hard. You know, we're getting older when, like, people that we looked up to when we were younger, or, you know, names when we were kids are passing away.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. DDP has so many different levels to this guy. He's a speaker, entrepreneur. He's a coach, former superstar. But his work that he's doing with DDP Yoga is super exceptional, and it's awesome to see somebody who's achieved superstardom like this. He's probably in his late 50s or 60s, didn't just go off into the sunset. This guy's constantly pushing, reinventing himself, and creating something really with his yoga brand that is helping people on the masses.
Yeah, well, I think he's one of those guys that, if he's not your favorite wrestler, he's your second favorite wrestler. He's just so likable, do you know what I mean? And he's been through the ups and downs. He's put the hard yards in, which I'm sure that he's going to explain. Like, I'm sure that in it, I've heard him say plenty of times before that, you know, he's an 8-year overnight success. So it's going to be interesting to just hear the perspective of the actual build up to where his career started, to where it actually became a push into the, you know, WCW at the time. And I'm sure he's going to drop knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb.
Yeah, he's constantly doing things. He's really active on social media. I know he has a workshop tomorrow. He's taking time out of his day to spend with us. So we're super appreciative. And he's an awesome storyteller. So I'm excited to hear him illustrate a few points, such as maybe, you know, where'd you get the diamond cutter from?
Yeah.
And how'd you get here? How'd you get there? Where are you going, that path? You know, all good things typical Vision Board podcast.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to be fans at the start, and then we'll let him talk for a bit. But we'll see how it plays out, but I'm sure you're going to enjoy it anyway.
Yeah, man.
Before we get to the interview, guys, just remember to check out On It. They've been with us for quite a while now, since June. Since we went to visit them. And
going on 6 months.
Yeah. They've got great products. I use the Alpha Brain, which I've just run out of. I'm very, very angry, so I'm going to order bulk. And I've also always carry around the Buffalo Warrior bars because they're just so simple to use.
And you're a warrior.
I like kind of like, yeah, thank you.
Dude, your left hook is looking, no, dude, your left hook, for real. We might as well address the elephant in the room. Tristan has been boxing full boy behind my back, behind everyone, without going to like a full gym, boxing with a heavyweight, and your left hook is looking effing nasty.
I just like it's fun,
rip
man.
The body. Rip. That front jump, dude, yeah. Dude, Tristan's hands, they're off the hook. It's the best I've ever seen your hands, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I was holding pads for it. So, guys, I was holding pads for him last week, him and another coach. And it's been almost probably a year since I held pads for you. And I was like, holy shit, dude, what's in your hand? They were like rocks. And it just goes to show you, though, you reached out, you hired a boxing coach, a dude, a heavyweight, how much he was able to sharpen your movement and bring your skill set to the next level, because you asked for it. It's something that you wanted, and I think that's really important. It's very evident.
It's fun, you know. I'm going there in a bit. I just got to go back to the gym and train somewhat quickly.
Yeah, I got a client too. That's why I love this, man.
And then, yeah, I'm just going to go maybe just hit for an hour. I'm pretty tired. I've had a beat-up week, so I'm just going to go for about an hour today.
Yeah, we were going. I remember it was almost a year ago. We're walking through Martin Place. It was early. We were going to the old podcast studio. And maybe, shit, maybe we didn't even have a podcast yet, but you were running the idea by me that you wanted a box. And I was like, at the time, I think you were 33.
I
was like, you're crazy. This guy's, he's delusional. But then after last week, I turned up to you. I was like, dude, you know what? If you want a box, box. I was like, I'll support that. I think
that conditioning art is so tough. Well, you lift weights for like so many years now. It's tough. Like, getting that conditioning up is so tough.
Yeah, so Billy Dibb, if you're listening, man, we're going to challenge you to a no-holds
wrestling. A battle. I don't want to fight you. I don't want to fight you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner representing Blankstown. Where are you from?
Blacktown.
Anyway.
Well, I was.
DDP, baby.
Always.
We're about to represent.
Also, guys, just remember, check out your free ebook as well. It's the abs workout for me and Johnny. So hopefully if I fight, I might use this. Double, I have to double it up just to even get
it. Yeah, core strength is huge, man.
But it's a good one. It's a quick workout that you can kind of just add either to the start or end of your workout. Probably take you about 10, 15 minutes, but get those rock hard abs. I think it's a neglected part of the body. So
it's because it's difficult, man. It's something that Elliot Hulse was sharing with us too about how, because he loves training his back, because visually a lot of people neglect it because they can't see it. I think there's parallels with the core in terms of difficulty. It's really difficult to aesthetically build a good core,
yeah.
So people will tend to neglect it because there's other factors. There's nutrition, stress, angle changes, time under tension, movement, so many different things to get it. And what we try to do with this product is give you just a little bit of a framework of how to get started.
But it's one of those really important areas, isn't it, Johnny? Like you know, you improve your core, everything else improves off the bat of it.
I think it's the most important. You see, like, how I train. It's one thing that, most guys at the gym will ask you for your squat or what's your bench press. I don't care about that, man. The core, in my opinion, you always see me hanging from things, is the most important, especially in terms of
foundation,
sustainability,
right?
Like, for sure.
If you want a heavier squat, you want a heavier bench press, get your core into gear first.
Yeah, right? You can't just jump. Yeah, dude, how much? All right, let's. I don't want
to.
We got
to
keep it positive.
Just on call. We'll get maybe Steve next. Steve Maxwell, do you reckon he might be able to?
Oh, Steve Maxwell Steve dropping bombs. Core. Legend in the strength and conditioning game, man. I forgot we were bringing Steve on.
Next week. So we'll get him to send us some
questions right now. If you have any for Steve, that's a good point.
Steve Maxwell.
Yeah, for sure. Legendary strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, guys, just before we bring DDP on, just a big thank you for everyone that's leaving us reviews on iTunes, subscribing to the show, and sharing. We've had a lot of people sharing all our stuff on social media. We really appreciate that because it really helps us just reach new people and helps us grow. So thank you.
Yeah, shout out to Jenna, Darren, Curly, who else shared from the gym? My client Sarah, all from George Street Fitness First Sydney, Australia, for sharing our most recent photos and pics and episodes. We appreciate the love and support.
Definitely, guys. So without further ado, here is Diamond Dallas Page. All right, our special guest today is Diamond Dallas Page. DDP is a former 3-time world champion wrestler. He's an actor, author, and inspirational speaker, and currently doing great things in the fitness and health world with his DDP yoga. We welcome the champ, Diamond Dallas Page. DDP, welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, good to be here. I was just in your country over the summer. I was up on the Gold Coast. I was up there doing not Comic-Con, they call it Super-Con, I think. But I was up there, beautiful country up there. Actually got in the water and surfed a little bit down in, I can't remember that little town that's, it's like, God, Nimbin? It's like being back in the 60s.
I think it's Nimbin, man.
Meet Byron Bay?
Forum, that's it. Yep, that's where I was.
Beautiful. I think Johnny's going up there for holidays.
Yeah, I try to get up to Byron about once a year, man. It's magical up there.
It really is, man. It was like, it looked like 1960s to me.
Yeah.
I grew up this time, so you know, I know what that looked like. And it was sort of really carefree. Everybody's really laid back. It was beautiful. And then we went to Melbourne, and I did signing there for a while. Then we stayed for another week and a half. We loved the country. People were really nice. I've been here before. My first movie I ever did was called First Daughter. And I don't know if you know who Dominic Purcell is.
Yeah, he's Aussie. From Sydney. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a pretty big name actor. At the time, he was, you know, a young guy coming up. We're talking about 1998.
Because he was in Prison Break, right?
Well, it was before Prison Break.
Yeah.
It was before that. People knew where he was by the time he hit Prison Break. But when I was doing it with him, nobody knew. And I actually was the first person to ever get Dom Purcell in the gym. I mean, and he had never lifted weights before. You know, now he's a stud. But back then, he was just a skinny kid. And we had some fun. He says, mate, so what will you do these back slams, do you? I go, body slam. He goes, yeah, body slams. it was pretty funny. You know, that was the beginning of the big run for me. You know, 1996, 7, 98, 99, you know, 2000. They were magical years in my wrestling career.
DDP, to stay on that note, we talk, Tristan and I on the vision board talk a lot about putting ourselves in positions for opportunity and the importance of momentum in regards to get where we want to go in life. When you were in that moment, you just said the magic years. What do you feel? I know it wasn't one instance. It was a collective effort of your effort putting into that. What was that like, and could you share with us some insight? Was it a phone call? Was it a contract? Did you have to audition? Was it one specific moment that you realized, holy shit, I'm about to take off?
When it started to happen, you know, you have to remember, this was I would say, started in 88 when I came in as a manager. So I was an 8-year overnight success.
Yeah.
You know? I once heard Richard Dreyfuss. You remember him from Jaws? He's,
oh yeah, he narrated Stand By Me.
Yeah, he's an amazing actor, and he had a quote that will stick with me forever, especially with a lot of the kids today. You know, he said, "It's okay to want the money and the fame. You just can't want them first." Mm. You know. It's work. Like, there's a movie that came out years ago, and it was a book that sold millions of copies called The Secret. And they really focus on vision boards and manifesting dreams in reality. And they show all these amazing ways to do it through your imagination. But to me, The Secret left out The Secret. Like, The Secret is, you have to work for it. And it just doesn't happen, you know, overnight. Einstein once said, and, you know, no one was smarter than Einstein. And Einstein said, it's not that I'm so smart. I just stick with the problem longer. And that's what I did. And when I came in as a manager and a color commentator, I made a videotape of, you know, me and guys who wanted to be wrestlers and sent them in. It was an idea in my head. I sent it to the AWA. It was so well produced, because I'm a creative guy like that, that they called me 2 weeks later and wanted to bring me and my guys in for a tryout. But we have one question for you. Where are you guys working? No one's ever heard of you before. And I was like, well, none of those guys can wrestle. They were like, what? I go, well, I they want to wrestle, but it's like a secret society. You can't find a way to get in. There wasn't all these independent leagues everywhere at the time.
Yeah.
You know, there was just, you know, federations, and there was like 40 of them, but they were all over the country, you know, and no one really knew how to get in them. And I decided to make this tape. And, you know, this is important about a vision board. You know, a lot of people have been surveyed. And what would you think you want the most? Do you want to be lucky? Do you want to be talented? Or do you want to have timing? And they found that 80% of everything that ever happens to people is about timing. And for me, I sent that tape to the AWA. Paulie Dangerously, now known as Paul Heyman, right, one of the biggest stars in wrestling, WWE, you know, he was a manager like me, or like I wanted to be. And he left the AWA and went to the NWA, which left this huge hole for this young guy who could talk. 2 weeks later, I'm on ESPN, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, with my world tag team champions, Bad Company.
Wow.
You know?
That's cool.
The timing was everything, and I was prepared because, not that I knew the business, but I knew how to ad hoc. Do you know what ad hoc means?
No.
Well, ad hoc is a sales term,
yeah,
that says, fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Like, adapt to any situation and figure it out on the spot or through trial and error. Like, a lot of people beat themselves up for mistakes they've made when they will never be successful until they realize it's the mistakes that they made that make them successful, because you keep trying it. Like Einstein said, stick with the problem longer. You're not going to, the worst thing that can happen to some kid is he goes undefeated and he never loses that first year, whatever he's doing, because you have to know how to handle failure and mistakes. That's what makes you a champion, how you overcome the adversity. And for me, wrestling, by the time I finally got to WCW as a manager, it was 3.5 years.
Yeah.
And I thought the dream was almost over. And then a little something happened. And then it turned into a bigger something. And then I ended up at WCW as a manager. I was 35 years old. That lasted for 5 months. And then they took me away from managing guys because of the long blonde hair, the diamonds all over me, the being able to talk as good as Ric Flair,
yeah,
the diamond dolls. And I was overshadowing the wrestler. So somehow I became too over the top for wrestling in the manager position. So I had 7 months left on my contract, and I was like, fuck this. I never got into this to be anything but a wrestler, because I tried it when I was 22. It didn't work out for me. The timing wasn't there. And then I got my first opportunity running a small nightclub. And after that, it was the booze, the broads, and the party pulled me away from everything. So here I am at 35 and a half. I got 7 months left of my contract. I'm like, I never got into this to be a manager. They're telling me that I've got all of this. This is what really a wrestler or any character needs to have. He needs to have charisma and personality, you know, be bigger than life. Well, I was already that.
Yeah.
Now I need to learn how to wrestle, you know, and that was way more complicated than I thought it was. You know, you can learn all the moves and how to do them and, you know, get the big pop, but you'll never really get the people until you tie in to them emotionally. Get them to care about the character.
Yeah.
And that's how my career started to really take off.
So, DDP, during that time when you're the manager, so you're the manager for 3.5 years, are they training you behind the scenes to eventually become a wrestler?
No. No one ever thought I could do it. You know, I always tell people, never listen to the people who say you can't. And that's probably 98.9 or 99.9% of the people around you. because they don't see how they could do it. So how could you? You know, like, everyone will tell you why you can't do something. You know, just by the name of your podcast, the Vision Board, I know your whole podcast is about telling them how they can.
Yeah.
And how you get your vision, what's in your mind, up on a board or write it. I always say, just don't think it, ink it.
Like, yeah, man.
Own it. You know, make yourself accountable. I mean, that's how I've done everything I have done, do, and will continue to do.
Well, it's okay. I'm going to be a little bit selfish now, DDP, because I was going to cut Johnny out the first part of the show. But it's, you know, you know, I was telling you before how me and my brother used to do the diamond cutters. Well, I was talking to him last night. We've got to know, how did you invent the diamond cutter?
Well, you know, it was a series of things. First, my buddy Johnny Ace, or Johnny Laurinaitis, as most of the world knows him as now.
DDP, is he related to, you know, is that James's father?
You mean a football player?
Yes, from Ohio State.
His uncle, Animal, Joe.
Oh, wow.
Animal Road Warrior is a Laurinaitis, too, and that is James's dad.
Okay, damn. What a pedigree. Those guys were a hell of athletes.
You know, and he did a hell of a job, James. I think he just retired.
Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes to Johnny and I were best friends from me breaking in very early on in 1988. And he was a big star in Japan. And he did the Ace Crusher, where he would grab the guy's neck like I would do, but he would do it one hand, make the peace sign, and then drop the guy down. Now, Lord Stephen Regal, gave me the cravat, which was like a headlock, but done in reverse and over your shoulder. And so I used that lock. So if there was like a TV person, put me in the diamond cutter, like being an asshole, I'd put him in a diamond cutter, and then I'd cinch up on it. And I'd hit him turn. You know, and they didn't want to be put in a diamond cutter again after that. And then the spontaneity of it came from my relationship and really learning from the master. I always say, without Dusty Rhodes, there is no Diamond Dallas Page. But without Jake the Snake Roberts, there is no three-time world champion. And Jake, you know, his instantaneous of the DDT, that it could come out of nowhere, that became a huge part of the diamond cutter. And Jake never told me to do it, but the day I did it, because he would watch my tapes with me and he would mentor me for years, and the day I caught the diamond cutter out of nowhere, the first time I ever did it, he was dragging up on his cigarette. He let the smoke out, put a big smile on, and he looked over at me and he went, "Now you get it."
Oh, my God. That reminds me of, like, have you seen Roadhouse?
Sure.
You know that relationship between Sam Elliott and Swayze? I could just see Jake the Snake, you guys are dragging the cigarette. So, sticking to the diamond cutter, one of my childhood friends, his name's Tony Hinchcliffe. He's doing big things in the stand-up world. He's a comedian. He loves wrestling. He wanted me to ask you, what was your favorite moment or the best time you applied it, that sort of thing? Or, you know, who was the person where you just smashed it in that event when you put it on someone?
I would have to say, Eddie Guerrero. And Eddie was one of the most talented
rest
guys you've ever seen. And when I was getting ready for the big Bash at the Beach, me and Carl Malone against Rodman and Hogan. And for those who are listening, for those who are listening who don't know who Carl, well, everyone knows who Dennis Rodman is. But a lot of people don't know who, outside of basketball, don't know who Carl Malone is. Well, I'll just explain this to you. The number one leading scorer of all time is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He played till he was 41 years old. The number two is Karl Malone. Number two, highest leading scorer. Not Kobe Bryant, who started playing at a high school. Karl Malone, who was the most consistent cat on the planet. And I was getting ready for that match. And about a week out, me and Eddie were working, and he walks up to me, and he goes, D, I got a new diamond cutter for you. And after I'd come up with so many on my own, guys who I were going to beat came up with ways for me to hit them on, because they wanted to create one.
That's so awesome.
Eddie says, pick me up in a power bomb. I go, what do you mean, pick you up in a power bomb? Your junk's in my face. How the hell am I going to do it to you from there? He goes, no. Pick me up like it's a power bomb, but roll me up on your shoulder. So I pick him up, and now he's laying with his back on my right shoulder. And I go, now what? He goes, boost me. So I just bent my knees and, you know, popped him. And Eddie literally went up and turned and then just slid down my back. And I went, wow, Eddie, if we could time that, that would be fucking crazy. And, of course, it was Eddie Guerrero. You know, so we timed it perfectly. And, I mean, I got out of that, and I did this big duck walk, fucking like mad stomper walk in the ring. Because that was, the place went crazy. And I was so amped up. I was like, that was one time. It was perfect.
Wow. What was it like behind the scenes, DDP? Like, with all the different characters and all the creativity and egos, who are your best friends like behind the scenes?
I would say the closest people to me was, you know, while Big Show was there, you know, when he was the giant, we rode together all the time. I was good buddies with Canyon. Canyon was a really cool guy. Raven and I were pretty tight. Nash and I were real tight. Still talk to Nash all the time.
Is it funny when like with NWO came, like they started attacking you and stuff? Is it funny like on screen when your best mates are kind of attacking you?
Well, it was my idea for them to ask me, because me and Eric Bischoff were really tight back then too, big time, because we came up from the AWA as nothing. And I remember telling them at one point, they won't let me manage anymore. They're just, because me and him were doing color. Yeah, I was doing color, and he was doing play-by-play. And I was like, dude, I'm gonna start wrestling. And he almost spit his beer through his nose, you know. He's like, what? What are you, crazy? Dude, you're too old. You'll never be able to do it. And, of course, we know what happened. And then one day we were driving after that to a town, and he just really disliked Bill Watts. And he was like, you know what? Fuck him. I'm gonna take his job someday. And I almost spilt my beer through my nose. Like, well, come on, what are you out of your mind? What are you talking about? What gives you the credentials? And you talk about timing and how everything came together. Bischoff had a lot of work put in that people didn't know about, including myself. But when he told me, you know, the production stuff that he had done and learned while he was working for Vern, and his pay-per-view that he almost put together, I was like, wow, maybe you could do this. And then when Turner took over, because it was just failing so many times, WCW, they put this guy Bill Shaw in control. And so they had someone who was going to run wrestling, then someone to book it, someone to do pay-per-views, and someone to be the executive producer. So all they had to know about was being the executive producer. So Bischoff got that spot. And about a year and a half later, he was in control of everything. And again, I didn't think he could do that. But once I realized what his pedigree was, I thought, wow, you might be able to do that. And we all know what he did. You know, Eric Bischoff should be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Yes. As much as anybody, you know, because he did the impossible. You know, he rocked the world.
What was the mood like when WCW and WWF came together?
I didn't realize it at the time, but there was a lot of tension.
Yeah, it would be.
You know, we were the enemy. And, you know, because that's how I found out later, Vince rallied the troops. Like, he made the WCW and Eric Bischoff the evil empire, you know, because we almost put them out of business. They were really close at one time.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, at the WCW days when, Arn Anderson, the Horseman, like, that marketing too, man. I just thinking back when I was a child, it seemed like WCW, the colors they would use would be like blacks and golds and silvers, and then the WWF would use these bright like blues and reds. Did you ever notice that? Was that part of the whole behind the scenes thing too? Or was that just something that I could just be wrong on that?
Not yet. You know, it was, I think everything that we were doing before Steve Austin got hot, and then of course The Rock, who the biggest star in the world, The Rock, just amazing.
Game changer. I just saw
on Twitter that Rock is also, because of his Disney, he's in the top 100 Billboard. You know, what can't The Rock do? Really, nothing. I could see The Rock being the president.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, I would like that.
If he wanted to run, I could see The Rock being the man. I could totally see it. And, you know, right now we've got a guy who's a WWE Hall of Famer who's about to run the country. And you got to, you know, no matter what, if you're a wrestling fan, you got to love that no matter what. I mean, Hall of Famer and president of the United States. Love him or hate him.
Yeah, you got to, he makes you believe in magic, I guess, when that could happen.
Yeah, dude. He wrote a book one time. And I've applied this to my life. I have my whole life. Think like a champion. And Barbara Walters was interviewing him on, it was on the show called The View. And Barbara Walters, I just happened to catch it flicking channels. And she said, "So Donald, what are the three things it takes to think like a champion?" He said, "Number one, well, you got to know your craft. You got to know your craft inside out, upside down. And if you don't, you need to be on your way to knowing it. Number two, you got to love it. You got to love it so much that you can work 24/7, 365 days a year and never feel like you're working." She said, "What's number three?" I said, "That's easy. Never give up." And she leaned over, put his hand on his leg and said, "Donald, that's easy for you to say. You're Donald Trump." And he said, "No, no one should ever give up." And she went, "Come on, Donald. Certainly some people should give up." And he waited for a second or two. He said, "Well, if you're talking about the person who, you know, goes to the wall and says, 'I'm going to go through the wall, I'm going to go through the wall, I'm going to go through the wall,' that person should quit." And then he went on to say something else. But in my mind, what I was thinking, God doesn't put those walls up in front of us to keep us out. God puts those walls up in front of us, I believe, to let us see how much we really want it. How much you really want, willing to work for it. What is it really going to take to make it happen? Because sometimes you can't get through the wall. So you got to adapt and figure out how to get over the wall or under the wall or around the wall. And going around that wall, it might be 300 miles. It may be longer. Do you quit like most people do, or do you keep going? I live with it every day with DDPY. You know, I'm now branding DDP Yoga. It's still the brand name, DDP Yoga. But everyone in the next 3 years, probably two, everyone will call it DDPY. Just like they call P90X, P90X. Do you guys know what P90X stands for?
No, what is it?
No one does. That's secret. My point.
Yeah.
But they, everyone knows, if you're in fitness at all, you know a P90X because it's the brand. Well, the name will be DDPY because I don't want people to say, I don't even want them to say I do DDP's yoga because it ain't yoga. It's a form of yoga for people who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga. You know, so it's all about the brand that we walk in with. My brand, besides the diamond cutter sign, the fist through the O, my brand is never give up. My brand is stick with the problem longer. My brand is, yes, you can. Because if you say you can't or you say you can't, you're right. Do you know who the original guy was that said that? Either one of you guys know?
I've heard Will Smith say it, but I'm sure somebody before him said it.
Somebody really important before him said it.
One of the presidents?
Henry Ford said that. And then I always say, but what the fuck did he ever do? You know what I mean?
I mean,
it's the people who say, yeah, I can do that, or I can figure that out, or I'm working on that. You know, those are the people who become successful. The people who say, I can't do that, they're fucked. Like, don't even try. Well, I can't do this, but I'll try. All right, go fuck yourself. You're going to fail. Like, don't bother.
Yeah, the word try, people use it as an excuse. You either do or you don't. It's all about the language, right? When you make that decision to succeed, it's a choice with our vernacular.
It's the story we tell ourselves. Everything we tell ourselves. You know, it's really funny because I can't do that. And then you just don't.
Yeah.
So just about every time you say you can't do something, you're right. And people like to be right, even when they're wrong. They want to be right. Like, it's challenging to say I can do that. It's challenging to tell people you're going to do a fitness program or you're going to do an eating plan. I'm going to change the way I eat. I'm going to make it a lifestyle. And it's challenging to do that because then you've got to, like, be accountable and then stick to your word because that's all we really have, any of us. All we have is our word and the story we tell ourselves. And I dealt with it with – you guys saw the movie The Resurrection of Jake the Snake?
Yeah.
The only reason Jake's in the position that he's in today is because – the one line that he kept saying over and over and over again, the mantra that runs through Jake, you know, Roberts' mind, especially on this journey, was, I am not, my history is not my destiny. That's all he had to keep saying to himself. And then eventually it started to become true. And when he fell down, it was for shorter periods. Now, Scott Hall, on the other hand, has had that mindset. But then he also has that mindset, but I can still have a beer once in a while. That never works for him. It's the Einstein's definition of insanity, trying to do the same thing over and over and over and over again and it failing. And I'm talking about something that's beyond your control. Like when you have the addiction, and it's alcohol, it's something in your blood. It changes you. It's not like a choice, like, oh, well, I fail 1,000 times and I finally get it. It's not one of those. It's like your chemical makeup says no. So now to keep trying it over and over again is like being insane, caught in a loop. And Scott has gotten it for periods of time and it's fallen off. It's getting better all the time. But, you know, it's part of his addiction and how he's going to deal with it. Jake, on the other hand, has done unbelievable. And again, it's about that story you tell yourself.
We hope you're enjoying the interview with Diamond Dallas Page. I'm sure you'll also like our other episodes with the likes of combat athletes such as Dan Severin, Rich Franklin, Rob Whitaker, Carlos Condit, Anthony Mundine, Larry Holmes, Costa Zoo, Evander Holyfield, and many, many more. If you could do us a huge favour and please share with us with your family and friends, it would be much appreciated. Also remember to please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and please subscribe to the Vision Board podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud and Stitcher. Now back to the show.
With DDPY and the branding of it, are you guys want to pull away from the traditional yoga like following? When you say it's for people who wouldn't get caught dead doing yoga, what you mean by that? What do you mean by that in terms of somebody? Are these people who don't want to do yoga unwilling to do it because it's out of their comfort zone? Are they unwilling to do it because it's not physical? Just could you clarify what you meant by that?
Well, first, because they don't think it's physical. In the United States, and I really think it's all over the world now, except for probably India, it's seen as a chick thing. Mm. You know, would you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
I see what you're saying.
So guys will not do a chick workout, but women will do a man's workout. So I developed this for men. Now it's for everyone, but I didn't develop it for the 20 million yogis in my country. I didn't develop it for them. They've got Anusara, Ashtanga, Vinyasana. They've got flow. They've got power yoga. They've got all these different types of yoga. They're very still minded. They're very peaceful. There's no attitude. There's no real energy in what I say. The energy is fire, is fired up energy. There's inner energy that's amazing. There's no real focused meditation on what I do. I took what I think is an amazing workout, amazing positions, and blended it with rehabilitation techniques to help rehab your body. I've had people literally lose hundreds of pounds with DDPY. Hundreds. I have one guy who lost 317 pounds. Oh. He went from 5'10 to 195. I think it's 17. Whatever that is. He went down at 195, 110. No, he went down to 193.
Wow.
That was his goal. His name is Jared. He did it in 17 and a half months. And it's not, DDPY is not a weight loss program. Can you lose weight? Yes. It's an awesome side effect. DDPY is about healing your body, making you stronger, making you indestructible. Did you guys see the disabled veteran that I helped walk again? Have you seen that video?
Yeah, I checked it out.
Yeah, Arthur Borman is the most inspiring video ever. That's what it's about. Him healing his body to the degree that he didn't need his knee braces, his back brace, and his wraparound canes, which he'd been working on for 15 years. Now, he also lost 140 pounds. Awesome side effect. DDPY is yoga positions meets old school calisthenics, push-ups, squats, crunches, done in a slow burn movement. Every time you flex or engage a muscle, when you grab, let's say, the bench press, and say you can bench 275, but how much can you bench if it's a 5-second rep where you lower for 5, you hold 2 inches off your chest for 5, then you come up 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I guarantee that 275 just became maybe 185.
Yeah.
So every time you flex or engage, your heart has to beat faster. So it's yoga positions, rehabilitation techniques, old school calisthenics, and what I call dynamic resistance. when I blew my back out and I had three of the top spine specialists in the world tell me that my wrestling career is over, I just signed a multi-million dollar three-year deal. I'd do anything. Right there, the guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga found himself doing it. And in less than 3 months, once I started to mix that ensemble, again, yoga positions, rehabilitation techniques, old school calisthenics and dynamic resistance, in less than 3 months, I was back in the ring full time. At 42 years old, they told me my wrestling career was over. At 43 years young, I was the heavyweight champ of the world. So as you can imagine, I'm going to keep doing that.
So DPY, is it essentially what you used throughout your entire career, your comebacks or your injuries? Is it essentially everything you've written down from back then that you kind of want to bring to the world now? Is that what it is?
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing right now. Yeah. You know, I'm sharing it. God, we've had hundreds of thousands of people invest in our program. And now with our new app, DDP Yoga Now, which anybody can get on their iTunes or Google Play.
Yep.
I have a free version so you can try everything out. Right now I'm doing cooking shows. I've broken away from, you know, actually doing my cooking shows to come in here and do your podcast right now. But I'll film five different cooking shows. I'll create at least 2 to 3 smarten you up with DDP, where I sort of like to smarten you up to different things that I think are really advantageous for you to know.
Yep.
When it comes to food or cooking, write down the what pans you use to cook in. And, you know, stainless steel is the best when you don't want anything to come off the pan, because it goes right into your body, into your bloodstream. Teflon is really bad to cook with, because that shit comes off the pan and onto your eggs every morning.
Yeah.
Now, if you use an iron skillet, that's going to come up through the food, but it's going to give you more iron. Iron's good for us. Teflon, mercury, uranium, not so good.
Yeah.
You know?
DDP, before we go on, I was just really curious for the audience out there. Can you just give us a quick special DDP, one of your favorite recipes, man?
Oh, God, I've got a lot of them.
How about a breakfast one? Tris and I are both coaches, and a lot of our clients, it seems to be like a common denominator with people who are struggling or wanting to change their nutrition is the what to put in their body right in the morning. Maybe something along those lines.
Well, let's take it. You got to go to where I'm at. And you guys have GMOs in that country yet?
Man, I was shocked when I moved here to see that high fructose corn syrup in America, which is in everything, Mountain Dew, ketchup, everything, is illegal here.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
It should be. Yeah, and the people, the quantity, it's just, what, 25 million compared to 370 million? So I'm not quite sure. I don't want to say yes or no to the GMO question, but I know the scale is a lot smaller.
Well, if they don't have fructose in, then they're definitely not going to let GMOs, I would think. GMOs are poison, you know, and I have one example after another to show people, like from people I've saved. I've got this one guy right now, Brian King, just talked about him on my Motivational Mondays, and it's part of the app, you know, DDP Yoga Now. Every Monday I do a different motivational talk about something that's happening in my life or in and around, you know, what's happening in the world. Like I talked about that Trump thing. You know, about think like a champion. This week, I was talking about, I believe, being the person that you want to be. And this guy's 32 years old. He's a cop. He's 450 pounds. 452 pounds when he started. March 13th. And right now, it is December 9th. So 9 months ago, right? And you know, when people start to lose weight, he's down 160 pounds in 10 months through eating real food. You know, I always, you know, and people, you know, are always, oh God, it's got to be organic this or organic that. Organic. Let me give the definition of organic. What your great grandparents used to call food, because everything was organic. So eating as many organic choices as possible. No wheat, no dairy. Wheat and dairy, even in GMO-free countries, are still really hard for the body to digest. And you also have to look and see, is it in everything, which it pretty much is over here in the U.S.? Everything should be dealt with moderation. So if it's in everything, I mean, Italy now has a shitload of gluten-free products. We're talking about the home of pasta and pizza. You know, yeah. They got gluten-free everywhere. So I got him on a gluten-free and dairy-free lifestyle. It's how I eat. When people come on to do DDPY, I don't care if they do it or not. They don't have to follow any of my food plans. Like another big one right now is paleo. Paleo is also gluten-free and dairy-free.
Yeah.
So I say, you like that? Do that one. If you want to do calorie counting, do that one. You're going to get results. How great are your results going to be? But the story I want to tell you about this guy, Brian King, you know, what happens when people start to lose weight, when people start to take ownership of their lives, well, their friends around them are really happy for them in the beginning until they're doing too well. Mm. And then they start to try to sabotage them. You deserve this. You deserve a cheat day. And he had one of the most profound quotes I've ever heard. He says that he said there was one buddy, and he says it to everyone now, I've cheated myself for the last 32 years. I'm done cheating myself. I'm making the right moves. Because if I feel this good now, how great am I going to feel when I'm down 250 pounds? How unstoppable am I going to be? Because that's my attitude. I'm done cheating myself. So what I have for breakfast every morning, and I'll diversify from time to time, but when I wrestled, I had 12 eggs. Then it went to 10 eggs. Now it's 6 eggs, 2 whites. They are organic, cage-free, grass, grain-fed. What they're eating, everything these chickens are eating is organic. Mm. Or like my grandparents used to call food. You know, it's not shit.
Yeah, and they're running around.
If you watch the movie Food, Inc., those chickens that are in these huge, like, football field size hen houses, these chickens that they're steroiding up so they can get them big as they can to get the most meat, make the most money, they're running around. They're not running anywhere because they're all sandwiched together. But they call those chickens cage-free. So you really have to understand what you're eating. So for me, I have the best eggs. They're not 99 cents a dozen. They're $6.99 a dozen. But when you really look at it, that meal probably cost me, because I eat 8 of them, really cost me about $4.75 for that meal. But I have the best food going into my body. I use 6 yolks, 2 whites. Now, when I cook them perfectly in my stainless steel pan, I might take some sprouts, like pea sprouts, and rip them up and stick them on top of it. Amazing what just something like that does to just plain eggs. Then I have a Udi's, which is a big brand over here in our country. It's a GMO-free, gluten-free bread. I get these hamburger rolls. Amazing. And I'm going to use goat butter, and I'm going to use some organic strawberry jelly. I'm going to get a huge glass of organic juice. I'm going to have some organic maybe once in a while, a cup of organic coffee. And that's my breakfast, man, and it's delicious.
It sounds delicious. I kind of want to go to the organic shop and get all these stuff.
I'm going to run down to the kitchen real quick and grab some food.
It's 8 a.m. DDP, obviously, we talk a lot about visions, and we were speaking before about the vision boards. Now, you've touched so many people with the DDPY. How many people do you essentially envision this touching around the world?
Oh, wow. I think it's 3 more years from really exploding, hopefully 2, but, you know, it's already becoming a household name. You know, people, you know, like the most obscure thing, Dee Snider last night called me, Twisted Sister, yeah, Dee Snider. And he gets, you know, I haven't heard from him, talked to him in a while, probably about a year. And he goes, Dee, it's Dee. Listen, give me a call, will you? I'm sitting here with my son. You know, he played semi-pro football. His body's beat the shit. You know, he tells me that, you know, his body's hurt him so much, he's actually started to go to some yoga classes. And I said to him, you're doing yoga? You need to be doing DDP yoga. He goes, I just saw Resurrection of Jake the Snake. He goes, that guy's amazing. And he's like, yeah. He goes, yeah, maybe I'll look into that. He goes, fuck it, I'll pick up the phone and call him right now. He goes, you know him? Next thing you know, I'm talking to Dee Snider's kid. Like, so he's already heard of it. He's already seen Resurrection, but he doesn't know me and his old man are friends. And I did his show for Fangoria about 9.5 years ago. Arthur Borman was about 5 months into his journey, was now moving around with one cane. And we were on the streets. And when he met Arthur and saw his journey just up to that point, he was so blown away by what I was doing that me and Dee just stayed friends ever since then. Like we hook up, and it's like we just left each other yesterday. If we lived in the same area, we'd be best friends. Because we're just very like-minded. But I thought that was unique, and to the spot where, you know, you hear about it and you start to see what we're doing, and then someone says something, well, then you try it. Yesterday, like, I know how many people invest in DDP yoga every day, and I know why they invest. Like, I heard me on Steve Austin's podcast. Maybe it's Chris Jericho. Maybe it's Adam Carolla. You know, maybe it was when the HBO did a special on us. Maybe it was the movie of Resurrection, Jake the Snake. You know, it could be anything. There's always friends and family. Okay, those are the people who are saying, you got to do this. Normally it's about 20%. Yesterday, 41% of the people who invested in my program were friends and family. That's amazing.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the quote about stand, like, if I've seen farther than you, it's not because I'm taller, it's because I've been standing on the shoulders of giants?
That's great. I love that.
Yeah, it's Sir Isaac Newton. It's, man, when Tris and I were interviewing Arnie's former old coach, and he mentioned that on the show almost a year ago. I always kept that one with me. It's exactly, you know, surrounding yourself around the people and being willing to ask for help and understanding that there's always room for growth. In regards to growth, DDP, a question I like to ask somebody, you know, on your stature what is something that you feel intrinsically that you know that you've had the ability to learn that allows you to constantly keep creating and evolving that maybe the average person just doesn't get?
You got to keep reinventing yourself. You know, before I go on, I will answer that question. What was the quote again? Just because...
If I have seen farther than you, it is not because I am taller.
Yeah. If I have seen farther than you...
It's not because I am taller.
Wait a minute. It's not because I am taller.
It's because I've been standing on the shoulders of giants.
Now, I just said to you, just don't think it. Ink it.
Yeah, I wrote that down. If you think it, ink it.
Right. You know, so you wrote it down.
Yeah.
I wrote down, you said, whoever's listening to it should write down both things.
That's awesome.
And my point is, I just don't say it. I do it. I live it. I own it. I'm writing a book right now, which we'll have to get back together on when you guys hear it's out. I'm writing a book right now called Positively Unstoppable, The Art of Owning It. Wow. And it's going to reflect all the things that we've talked about. Now, I want to answer your question, but I got detained on that side. So what was the question again?
The question was, with you always creating things and constantly evolving, what do you feel that you get, that you understand, that allows you for this growth that the average person just doesn't understand?
Well, a lot of people go through life complaining. Yeah. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you think you got it bad? Fucking listen to this. Like, I want to outdo you on how bad it is. Like, and that becomes like their thing, being the victim. Like, they don't get it at all. Until they start to change that inner voice, they'll never get it, because it's never just going to happen to them. The people that I hang out with, the people, which is a lot of my crew, my wife, my friends, we're all like-minded. You know, maybe not as intense, maybe don't work as hard, but we all have the same values. You know, you become the five people you hang out most with, and you learn from them. And the thing that the people are lacking or missing, they don't understand that it's absolutely possible to find something that you love to do and then figure out a way to get paid to do it, because that's the dream. You can still keep that shit job that you complain about every day. The first thing, the best thing you can do for yourself, stop fucking complaining about it. Put the work in over there, and then go put the work in on something that you believe in. No one else has to believe in it but you. But you got to believe in it. And then you got to keep putting the work in. And every time you second guess yourself, you got to put in double work. And then when you get knocked down, you got to put in triple the work. But again, if you love it, who gives a shit? Like, that's what people don't get. And you've got to constantly reinvent yourself, like DDPY. It started with yoga for normal people. Then it became yoga for regular guys. Then it became YRG. Then it became DDP yoga, and it started to go. When it takes off and people understand it's DDPY, it's going to be a juggernaut, because people don't know what P90X is. What they know is a great workout. The problem was it beat the shit out of your body. The great thing about DDP yoga, DDPY, is it heals your body.
Yeah.
It makes you stronger. It gives you an amazing body. People go, you don't lift weights anymore. I'm like, no, I don't. I haven't lifted weights in 9 years. So this is from my calisthenics, meet my rehab, meet my yoga positions. Notice I didn't use the word pose or posture. Those are yoga words. DDPY words, position. I understand position. I played a position when I was doing any kind of athletics, and I got in a position. I understand that. It's a whole different vernacular. I tell people all the time, most yogis are very namaste. DDPY, way more TNA. And what I mean is tone and attitude. I want you to have a good time. I respect yoga so much. In the beginning, I was that guy who wouldn't be caught dead doing it. Today, I will drop in on classes just to see how the teacher is, just to see if I can learn anything new. Because I can always learn something new and find a way to adapt it to what I do. And I'm always looking for that next teacher that's going to inspire me. And the people who I really like to take classes from, I might drop in on their class. If I'm in LA and I got the time, I'm going to work out with Brian Kest. because he's fucking awesome. He's the guy who got me to understand that yoga could really help me. And he didn't do it through meeting me. He did it through me watching how he taught it. And I thought, okay, this can really help me. Today, me and Brian Kester are good buddies. He actually, I came to one of his workshops in Atlanta. Afterwards, they all went to dinner, and Brian pulled me over, and he told these 8 super yogis that I was the doorway to yoga. And again, no one knows who Brian Kess is except for that world, but mazillions of people know who Diamond Dallas Page is. And they know I've developed my own yoga. Again, I didn't develop this for yogis. They get it. They understand you need some kind of yoga in your body, to help heal your body. DDP, my people, they wouldn't be caught dead doing yoga. But once they start doing it and they get it, then they'd walk in on any class. Because then they realize, okay, that wall's down. It's all about taking walls down. It's all about, being incredibly adaptable. I'm going to leave you guys with this one quote, which is me. This is DDP quote. Flexibility is youth, not just in the body, but in the mind as well. Your mind has to be flexible to doing other things, to making mistakes, to falling down and getting back up again. It needs to be flexible to new ideas, and that's how you grow.
DDP, you've been great today, man. I can't wait for that new book to come out, so we'll have to get you on again when that comes back. But we've got one final question that we like to end all our podcasts with. Now, Diamond Dallas Page, you're going to be hosting a private dinner party. You've got 5 invites. Now, the only rules are they can't be any family or friends, but they can be anyone dead or alive. DDP, who are you inviting?
Tony Robbins. Jack LaLanne. Jesus Christ. Another 2 hard. Can't be dead, right?
Yeah, it can be dead.
Dusty Rhodes. Oh. John F. Kennedy.
Ooh, good choices.
And one last thing for everybody listening that might not know. Could you let everyone know where they could find DDPY and follow you on your journey on social media?
Let's start with social media, because I'm always on Twitter, @RealDDP, @DDPYoga. Facebook, I always tell people, don't listen to a word I have to say. Go on the DDPYoga, one word, members only. There's about 13,000 people. And I mean active people on that page. It's crazy. They're all helping each other. That's awesome. It's really awesome. But go read what those people have to say. DDPYoga.com. Everything's there. Download the app, DDP Yoga Now. And one thing you guys don't know about, and you guys got to get it today, there is a DDP video wake up alarm clock where I come on your phone or your iPad with, yo, monkey, get out of bed.
Damn, that's brilliant.
That's a brilliant idea. I agree.
Some of them are funny. Some of them are ridiculous. Some of them are inspirational. And that's the main key. Inspiration. To be inspirational. You also can join my Diamond Dallas Page, it says athlete. When it's, it's me. It's Diamond Dallas Page. It's the only one that's certified on Facebook. And I put posts up there all the time. I try to read as many as I can, but as you can imagine, man, it's tough. Because like right now, I'm going to look and see how many emails, because I'm on my computer right now on Skype. I have 64 emails. Now, thank God 25 of them at least are bullshit ads all the time.
Yeah.
Fucking at least 30 of them are real that I have to answer. So busy day. Fellas, it was really a treat talking to you, and stay in touch. Go to DiamondDallasPage.com and sign up for my my newsletter, because you'll know, you know, I've got a tour coming in the UK. Eventually, I'm going to get back to Sydney, and you guys are going to know about it. So definitely DiamondDallasPage.com. Sign up for my mailing list.
Definitely.
Right?
DDP, when you're in Sydney, man, you let us know, and we'll definitely have to catch up for dinner or something, buddy.
Sounds great, man. Have an awesome night, guys.
Yeah, all right, brother. Be too. Good. And that is my type of human, man. Inspirational, energetic, brash, confident, and more than anything, the world is a better place with guys like him in it, man.
Yeah, what an experience. Like, both of us grew up watching him, and now to have the opportunity to speak to him and actually see that, you know, this guy's a good guy.
Yeah, you could feel his energy coming through. Tris and I were throwing up diamond cutters.
Yeah, but it's easy to let him speak, but at the same time, you know, we had a bit of fun. At the start, we like got those things that we've always wanted to ask off our chest.
Are we going
to
record that? Are you going to put it in the intro?
Yeah.
Yeah, the yeah, guys, because a lot of times when we get people on, we won't put...
I won't put that part in.
Okay.
We did get to chat about, you know, just the little things where we had fun, you know, with the diamond cutters and just...
Oh, yeah, yeah, fanboys. Fanboys,
for and sure. And then we got to the meat of it all, and his passion behind his DDP yoga, DDPY, is just... is unbelievable, because realistically, you know, he went through a lot in life in those sort of, when you think about it, he was in the prime of his career when he was in his mid-40s.
35, so, didn't get that break. That's older than us.
Yeah, and by the time he actually became a superstar, he would have kind of been in that 40s, late 40s, right?
I remember thinking that, man. I remember when he came on the scene thinking to myself, I was a young boy. I remember like, wow, this dude isn't young. He's still doing it. Like, how is his body holding up? And he looks great. And he was one of the, in my opinion... he's in the top five most memorable wrestlers.
Yeah, but it's interesting that it's like a never give up scenario. Do you know what I mean? Like, some people, they're athletes, they're born, because we're interesting, because our next guest, Stephanie Rice, and she was a superstar since she was 17, 18 years old, and then she finishes when she's 24. So virtually that 6-year period of her life is where she's on...
she peaked.
She's on that world scene. Everyone knows about her. But then you got someone the reverse opposite, DDP. He's not even known until his late 30s. Do you know what I mean? So there's that big gap where you're working and you're working and working. And he's even just, you know, he's left us knowledge bomb after knowledge bomb about not giving up. And, you know, what was those three things? You wrote it down.
Yeah, three things.
Even what he said, what Donald Trump is, that he was kind of...
yeah, I had no idea Donald Trump was in the WWF. He was in the WWF?
Yeah, because he's appeared on like 2 or 3 shows, so I think they've probably, you know, when you're a high-profile person, they chuck you in there. But yeah, he's been in the wrestling, I think, because Vince McMahon's one of his best mates. So he's appointed Vince McMahon's wife to his one of his finance committees, because I think Vince McMahon gave him like $10 million for the actual president campaign.
So that means then there's a tie-ins with probably Stephanie and her husband with Triple H. And then Joe D's gonna be in the White House, players.
Yeah.
Put Joe D's strength show live from the White House. Could you imagine cool. He's coaching? He probably could coach Trump. Yeah.
I imagine that. I wouldn't mind doing that.
But like DDP, man, the things that come to mind, his storytelling, after we got off air, I turned to you and said, man, I got caught up listening again. Like, there's certain guests that it's tough not to be mesmerized. Like, if you're in the headspace of we're learning, so it was one of those interviews through it where I had to snap out of it, like, oh shit, I gotta tie it back in with things, and I have to snap out of his stories, because he was really good and passionate. And I'm not going to say I wasn't expecting that, but I don't know what to expect all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best part about what we do.
But I like how he's like asked you about your quote, and then he gave you a quote, and it was good. And
we're sharing knowledge here.
Yeah, you know, you're sharing back and forth, which is excellent, and the audience gets to listen from that as well. And I'm sure that people had their pens out writing those quotes, one that you put down, and then the one that put down. And
the Giants one, man. If you guys are fans of the show, been listening a while, I bring it up every now and then. It's just, man, that one just speaks to me, because it, you know, behind the words, obviously the word giant, you know, I've been standing on the shoulders of giants. It's saying, find the people around you and learn from them and surround yourselves around the people who want to help you.
Yeah.
I think it's that simple to get to where we want to go. It doesn't have to be complicated. You don't have to have famous friends. You don't have to have rich friends. You just have to have people who are around you who want to help you.
And a good human being. I agree 100%, man.
Yeah, and that's much better. And that's what I feel like. DDP, man, the stories. You know, we could have really, we could have done a 10-part series. We could have talked with him for hours about Jake and then the wounded vet and then
the guy that he rehabbed.
Yeah, the guy that he rehabbed.
100 pounds to 185.
Just his story of getting signed at 35 years old, Eric Bischoff. The guy's story is so many layers. It reminds me of, like, you know, the onion analogy. You have the onion and you're unpeeling back, and each layer is you're getting deeper, and there's just so many things to cover.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he said it himself, he's the 8-year overnight success, you know. He was putting the yards in before, man.
Who'd we hear that from before? It took me 10 years to be an overnight success. Is that Poliquin?
Yeah, I think it was.
Or maybe somewhere around that.
A lot of successful people, you know. People think just because they hear see you in a newspaper or see you on TV that, you know, you just made it, but they don't see the work that you put on for years and years, all the free stuff that you did, you know, all the things that you did just because you loved it and you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
You needed to be patient and just bide your time.
Yeah, Steve said it too, Commando Steve. There was a bit in our interview with him where he was like, this isn't on accident. This isn't luck. I've been working my whole life to get to where I am.
Yeah.
I was actually in a chat in our locker room with a fellow coach about that, about how we only see when we speak to, like, and I'm talking we as a collective society, when we think of somebody with a high profile, a celebrity, a musician, whatever it may be, where they are now. And whatever they do now at that moment that we first hear of them, that is our gauge, our timeline of judgment. We never see what took them to get there. And I feel if that were possible to know them by their path, there'd be a lot less judgment and a lot more inspiration in the world with that.
But I think that's the inspiration behind the show, right? Because we do want to cover that sort of path, right? Because I think that's more for me, that's more important than the actual end goal. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to know how they got to that path. You know what I mean? Even if it takes us 2 hours to recap how they actually did it. But I want to know the origins. I want to know the bro, the bumps, the
advice,
you know, the adversity, you know, the ups, the downs. It happens to all of us. And I think sometimes we all want it so quickly that we forget that it's the path and we're not going to enjoy it unless we do have a path. So
yeah, like, you know, my father was a perfect example. Like, we like to, not everybody is able to come back from adversity, you know, and that's where, you know, certain things will happen to us in life, you know, young age, maybe tragedies and accidents, and not everybody, you know, will have that story of overcoming it. And I think that that's also important as well, to shed light on the positive stories and to give people listening at home hope, ideas, a different framework. Everybody has their own different, like, timeline and path, and my story of adversity will be different from your story of adversity, but I think it means the same to each person. If you could get through that, if you feel that you're alone and think that there is nobody, like, there's no one out there or not a venue to reach for help or support system, I mean, I think that is a good, you know, what we could do here too, is, you know, to give, if you're listening,
people inspiration that it is possible. Do you know what I mean?
The story about Jake, man, what he was talking about, if you guys aren't familiar or savvy to that, the resurrection, because there was an original one with Jake like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was absolutely horrific. It was so sad. And
well, it's one of those, riches to rag stories, really, because he was on such a high pedestal, and then
he was basically homeless.
Yeah, and then to what he became.
He was my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, to what he became. And then I think maybe DDP owed him some gratitude or something, because he spoke about Jake being the one that taught him how to wrestle and things like that.
Yeah.
And then DDP dragging him back out of the gutter to bringing him back into normal society, back into life, and giving him second hope. I guess that's
huge,
one of those,
man,
things that, you know, you never forget what people do for you. And I think that, you know, it's not that he owes him a favor or anything like that, because I don't believe in people owing anyone anything.
He was indebted.
But like, it's just one of those things that, you know, that person went out of their way for you all the way years back then, and you know, it's just the right thing to do is to help them when they're in need. So
yeah,
I think that's a great story between the two boys.
The story of when you asked him about the origins of the diamond cutter, and he looks back and he says, "Jake took a drag," and you got it.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love that shit. Yeah. I can just see it. He painted such a clear picture. I can see Jake has to be in his tights. He has to have the green bag and the snake in the corner. He's leaning up against the ropes though. And it's in an empty gymnasium, and he's smoking a fucking cigarette, and DDP's younger, and he's just, like, annoying him, kind of, like, is it this way, is it this way, is it this way, what if I do this? And he just leans back one time, he goes, yo, you got it.
Yeah,
he's just that's cool. The way I look at
he's
it.
He's just cool as fuck.
Yeah, man.
That was a great episode, guys. We've got more and more coming up, so stay tuned. Like we've said a couple of times, we've got Stephanie Rice on next, going back to back with the likes of Jake Juicy. We got Tim Sykes, and we're going to actually find out from Chrissy. Chrissy, UFC, she's on, what day is she?
Oh, Chrissy
on?
Blair, Chrissy Ring Blair. Girl. Yeah, man, she is an OG. We're going to get an awesome insight into, so these girls.
These guys are fit, too.
Super fit, but they're also, like,
business people.
Yeah, leveraging off of the opportunity of being part of the largest, fastest growing sport in the world. And when the, like, it's not about just the fight. It's a whole production. Fight week can, you know, fight week consists of media day. It consists of the weigh-ins. It consists of the fight and in between the rounds. A common denominator with all those steps are the ring girls. And Chrissy, if you're not familiar, she's the blonde one. And it's going to be an awesome, you know, we've talked to the orchestrator of it, the voice. We've talked to the combatants. We've talked to the coaches. We've talked to the coaches. And now we're going to get an opportunity to talk to one of the faces, the beauty behind it that helps build a little contrary to the fight mentality.
I'm looking forward to that one, really. To get that perspective is going to be really, really cool. Before we go, guys, just remember to check out, excuse me, On It. And we've got that coupon code, Johnny.
Vision Board 10%. Go to www.thevisionboardpodcast.com/on it. Check their business out. Human optimization brand. They specialize in products, workout gear, clothes, accessories. Use discount code Vision Board to get 10% off.
Yeah, it was great. We use the products. Just remember, I use those Buffalo bars. I just finished Alpha Brand. I'm pissed.
What do you think of it?
Some more.
Yeah, man. The thing about their products, for me, the way the type of learner just doesn't sound
right. I don't get bulk because
I like the stories, though.
For more.
Yeah, I like the science behind them. Yep. You know, it's not just like this flashy brand with awesome marketing and a famous owner. It's the science and the doctors and the research. Another cool thing about their products, such as New Moon, Alpha Brain, Shroom Tech, is that the ingredients are always evolving.
Yeah.
It's not this one grandfathered in recipe. It's research goes in, that sort of thing. And you could read about that on their website, onit.com.
Yeah, we've got a better. So we're getting Aubrey Marcus, CEO and founder of On It on Christmas Eve. He's coming on. So you got till the 24th of December to send your questions in. So
yeah.
Send them in either direct message myself or Johnny on social media.
Aubrey's like a modern day plant based, psychedelic, philosophical, entrepreneurial godfather.
Yeah,
I'm stoked about it.
One. Yeah, so email us, guys. info@thevisionboardpodcast.com. Any questions for Aubrey? In the meantime, also check out your free ebook. Just check it out. It's the abs workout that me and Johnny put together. Free meal sample. Just put your name, email on the homepage of the Vision Board Podcast, and we'll send that straight to you.
Yeah, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Johnny Stofko, Tristan's at Tristan Cannell. The Vision Board Podcast, like our fan page on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yeah, just also big thank you for the new subscribers, people that's been leaving us reviews.
Getting good momentum.
Really appreciate that. So just remember, tell your friends, subscribe via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. 5-star review would be fantastic. And any feedback, like we said, always get in touch with us.
Yeah, we love that, guys. We really want to give you guys a shout-out for supporting us, sticking with us, and being part of this journey together. So thank you.
Yeah, another great episode, Johnny. Really appreciate that, sharing that with you. And you actually, I like those quotes that you put in, so maybe bring those to the table. I like those.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just sometimes some people, you know, I have a big cheesy, corny side to me. And that, you know, I like quotes. It's how I'm wired. It's what works for me. When I was going through, you know, tough times, I would have to constantly read to myself. Look, and I like what DDP said. We are not our past. The past, that does not define who I am. And for so long, you know, I think when you go through bad shit, you look back and you just, that's who I am.
Yep.
Once you're able to tell yourself like Jake the Snake did, you know, today is a new day. It's a new opportunity. I'm not my mistakes. I'm only what I can do now. I think it's really important. So, yeah, the quote's something I always have in my back pocket. I just don't want to force them on people.
Definitely. Quote book.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Johnny, you have a great week, and I'll see you next week.
You too, man. TK, man. Be good. Peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.